I'm on America's west coast in Portland, Oregon. And like many American cities, you don't need a car to enjoy its vibrant and compact downtown area. And that's just as well. Portland has more craft breweries than any destination in the States. And it's also famous for hundreds of street food stalls, offering a fresh fast food fix to meet any taste or diet. You'll have a lot of calories to walk off.
Walk sign is on. Walk sign is on.
Locals reckon Portland has a very different feel to most American towns.
Feels like a European city. People are out, people are walking, people bike.
I wish I'd earned a euro for every time I heard that. So you might wonder why bother visit at all when Europe's just an hour-long flight away from us in the UK. Well, what Portlanders really mean is that they've selected some of the best bits of the old world cities and with that created something really special.
Portland has a distinctive Portland culture.
The neighborhoods thrive with bustling bars and vintage stores. It's a hip and happening place. It's not shabby or radical, though. The words artisan and alternative crop up a lot. You'll even see stickers saying keep Portland weird. But it is weird in a good way.
Keep Portland weird. Portlanders are very, very tolerant. Some cities are more judgmental. Portland's a great place where you can be yourself and no one's going to try and to rein you in.
So is it really European in feel? Well, Portlanders enthuse over food. That's quite European. The chains, for instance, have been edged out of the town centre.
McDonald's, Burger King's, Taco Bell's. They started leaving the city, the downtown core, in the 90s, early 2000s.
Portlanders also proudly recycle. You'll find electric car charging points too, but they prefer to pedal.
So I'd recommend to anyone visiting to get a bike. They're so used to bike commuters, and they have bike lanes, and as you're biking around, you can see like all the cool buildings that we have and all the great trees that we have.
It's almost like a kind of an American Amsterdam, isn't it?
It is. I've done a lot of traveling around the States, and I can't think of any other city that has such a big bike community.
Portland-based sports giant Nike sponsor the city's rent-a-bike scheme. You can hire one for an hour or for a day from the bike racks all over the city. Skateboarding provides a quirkier option. There's even a dedicated skateboard lane downtown. What's really European is Portland's joined-up public transport. You can ride the clean, modern overground light railway, the MAX, or the streetcar network. Get a day pass for travel from the airport to the centre or out to the trendy suburbs.
This is a yellow line train to Expo Centre.
And when you walk in Portland, you won't have to walk too far. There's 20 blocks to a mile here. Portland's blocks are shorter than other US cities because canny developers realise that properties on corners attract higher rates. So they made corners more frequent.
The doors are closing. Train departing. Please hold on.
Portland's spirited centre hasn't evolved by chance. Back in the 70s, residents deserted the city's downtown. It became run down, a bit dodgy. Portland walking tour guide Bob Fisher says the council had a vision to make the centre attractive again.
Portland was one of the first cities in America to put in a height restriction on their buildings. That's why Portland is a very squat city. We only have two buildings which we could really consider tall.
Anything that obscured the view, street furniture like parking meters or signs or metal bus shelters, went. Today, Portland Center is busy, not deserted after offices close, like many American cities.
Other cities in America are copying Portland. The city leaders want to try and make Portland a livable city.
Bob's tour shed facts only known by locals. There was the office building which forecasts weather. The rooftop light glows red if warmer weather's on the way, or green if it's going to get cold. We also visited the world's smallest park. Mill Ends, 452 square inches, is recognised in the Guinness Book. In the 40s, newspaper columnist Dick Fagan wrote how he'd seen council staff dig a hole for a streetlight, but they never put one in the hole. Plants quickly grew inside their excavation.
He started writing his column on Slow News Days about the ugliest patch of earth in the city of Portland and how the city should do something about it. The city never did. Until one day he wrote that leprechauns had come in the dead of night and transformed this ugly patch of earth into a beautiful city park. And then they started having St. Patrick's Day celebrations there, and then fast forward 20 years and it became an official city park. If you go to the portlandparksandrecs.org page, all of our parks are listed with all of their amenities. This one's listed. It has ample parking.
Portland's streets are filled with stories connected with public art. Bob paused at a bronze statue of a nude woman.
She is my my southern granddad would say, she is naked.
A poster of a picture of a flasher opening his raincoat in front of the sculpture went viral in the 70s. The caption, "Expose yourself to art," made Bud Clark famous. He was later elected mayor. There's bronze beaver casts, too. They honor Oregon's mascots.
Beavers, you don't know, were instrumental in the development of the state. Some of the first Euro-Americans who came to the Northwest were coming looking for beaver pelts.
The best-known sculpture is Portlandia, a 34-foot-high statue of a woman kneeling down and beckoning with her right hand and holding a trident in her left. It's the second-largest copper sculpture in the States after the Statue of Liberty. She appears bronze because the sculptor insisted she's waxed to stop oxidation and bird poo from gathering. He'll sue if Portlandia's image is used for commercial purposes.
You're not going to find any Portlandia shot glasses, playing cards, postcards, calendars, mouse pads, key fobs, pint glasses.
There are few skyscrapers in downtown Portland. The city centre's got charm with its red brick pavements, leafy streets, squares and parks. You'll find the Brewery Quarter and cool bars and cafes, some in converted warehouses in the Pearl District. Or take a short streetcar ride to drink or dine in Nob Hill's tree-lined street. And for the best way to get your bearings, take in the expansive view from a hill 500 feet above the city. The Portland Aerial Tram is a commuter cable car. It takes 4 minutes to complete its 3,300-foot run.
The cabin will swing as it passes the tower. Please watch your balance.
A return trip up to the university campus on the hill costs under $5. If it's clear, you'll see Mount Hood, 50 miles away. The volcanic peak looks just like the Paramount movie logo. You can also look down at the multiple bridges crisscrossing the Willamette River, which flows through the city. Across the water, there's hip shopping and dining areas in neighborhoods like Alberta, Hawthorne, and Belmont, all just a short MAX train ride away, and well worth visiting, according to expat Emily Seabrook.
Everyone does tend to like go downtown when they come to Portland, but actually it's across the river where everything happens. The Hawthorne area has got great like vintage stores, so if you wanted to go shopping for clothes, that's a really good place. And at the very, very end of Hawthorne is the Mount Tabor Park, which is an extinct volcano.
If you need some peace and quiet, there are two places to head for in Portland. The walled Lansu Chinese Garden is filled with curated collections of magnolia, bamboo and Chinese rare plants. It's set around a two-story traditional wooden tea house and fish ponds and waterfalls. Vina Sun is the garden's visitor experience manager.
I'm Chinese and this is the most authentic garden I've ever seen here in North America, so we're really proud of that.
The garden was created to mark a special friendship.
The city of Portland and city of Suzhou, China, became sister cities.
Another relaxing place is Powell's, the world's largest independent bookshop.
The Guardian, a British newspaper, last year picked Powell's Books as the world's best bookstore.
Its massive shelves is filled with books from floor to ceiling. It's so overwhelming, staff hand out store maps directing you around its sections. They're color-coded according to subject.
Until you walk in, you really don't have any concept of what it's like to be in 75,000 square feet with a million books. And at any one time, there can be close to 1,000 people walking in and around this store. It has a pulse and a rhythm that is just not known anyplace else on this planet.
Miriam Sons is Powell's chief executive.
If you love books and you walk into this store, you're going to fall in love.
Well, next, you'll hear why food carts and craft beers have made Portland's drinking and dining experience like nowhere else on Earth. For years, Britons travelling to the US West Coast headed for Seattle or San Francisco or LA. They're great cities, they're worth seeing, but Americans discovered Portland some time ago. In fact, Silicon Valley workers loved it so much, many moved here and take the one-hour flights to work each day. Portland's special vibe centres on its excellence in street food and craft beer.
If you want to come on a holiday and eat your way through a city, drink your way through a city, and occasionally hike, this is the place to be.
I caught the MAX, the light rail, to the Hollywood neighbourhood and turned down a side street to find a rather bland, nondescript storefront. But when I opened the door of the Velo Cult bicycle bar, I had a lovely surprise at the interior. On the right was a bike shop with wheels and spanners, pumps and repair paraphernalia. Cycles hung from the ceiling over long galley-style tables. It was like an interior beer garden. On the left side, a wooden homemade bar. Behind that, a cabinet capped with many bicycles, each with coloured frames. Jeremiah said the bar combines two Portland passions, pints and pedal power.
Service keeps the doors open and the bar is the icing on the cake.
There's a bewildering choice of 76 craft breweries in a city about the size of Sheffield or Glasgow. Many have set up bars, some are stylishly decorated, others are basic, benches in an industrial unit. Most provide a glimpse into the beer-making process. You can see the metal brewing vats and pipes in the background.
Home brewing became legal in 1979 here in America, and Oregon was really the one that jump-started it. I mean, they're some of the biggest craft breweries here. Everything's so close here in Portland, too. So you got that culture as well, that kind of pub crawl culture. You can do that with breweries here, which I think is really unique.
Well, guys, my name is Emily. I'm your master of ceremonies for the day. I have my lovely beer fairies with me. Jared over here is going to be helping me lead this tour. And Brian behind the wheel is going to get us safely to each of our locations.
Brewvana can take you on brewery tasting tours every day of the week.
We have walking tours that focus on a neighborhood. We'll go into the history of those neighborhoods. We have bus tours that focus on, like today's is Tour de Funk, so we're focusing on the funky beers in Portland, the new stuff, changing your perspective on beer. Tomorrow we got Beers in Barrels, which is focusing on barrel-aged beers. We stop at a distillery as well.
Well, we boarded a US-style school bus to be driven between the breweries. First, I had to sign a form, though, which warned me that excessive consumption of beer could make me feel unwell. Portland may feel European, but it's still the States and they love legal waivers. Tour guide Emily Bowler is convinced Portland does have Brit appeal because of the beer.
After living in the UK for 8 years and moving back to America, I was really drawn to Portland because of that lifestyle. In America, for the most part, you meet up for a cup of coffee when you meet up with your friends. In Britain, you meet up for a pint. Portland, you meet up for a pint, and I love that. It is very much at the center of what we do.
Everybody on the tour got to wear a garland of pretzels in case they got the nibbles.
The palate cleansers, right? We've given you a lot of different beer today, so this is a really good way to cleanse your palate. I know it sounds silly.
Craft beer in America is different in three key ways.
Brits should know that beer is going to be boozier than what they expect it to be, usually about double the percent in alcohol. Hoppier as well. It's lighter in color. It's bitter in taste.
My trip promised tastes of quirkier brews. We headed to an award-winning brewery to sample the really trendy kettle sour type of beer. It's really big here. They add good bacteria, the sorts you find in yogurt, during the brewing process for a tart, often fruity and dry beer.
Oregon Mead and Cider Company, no mystery in the name.
I must admit I wasn't looking forward to trying the Oregon Mead. I'd previously had the honey fermented drink and found it too sweet and sickly. Here though, they ferment with a champagne yeast. The result is like a 17% sparkling dry white wine. If you don't drink, you should raise a toast with your root beer to Portland's breweries and how they've enhanced the city's food offer.
The laws in Oregon actually require us to have food served with any sort of alcohol. That has really pushed breweries to push the bounds on food.
And when you're choosing what to eat, you can go as offbeat as you like. I found a Doctor Who-themed bar and British fish and chip shop on North Killingsworth Street, complete with a TARDIS and David Tennant cardboard cutouts. I wonder if he knows.
You're spoilt for choice. Like, when I have to think about where to go to eat, there's so many places that you can go to. And especially if you've got a lot of, like, food allergies or food restrictions, and any kind of cuisine that you're looking for, you're going to be able to find it here.
People also queue around the block to sample a voodoo donut.
Anthony Bourdain, one of the celebrity chefs in the country, he visited and had their maple bacon bar and said it was a work of culinary genius.
Apparently they used to sell donuts laced with a cold remedy drug for people who wanted comfort food that really did make them feel better. Health authorities soon put pay to that.
Two local Portlanders started it. I think it just has just the right amount of quirky weirdness.
Well, I headed to the city centre to a surface car park hemmed in by the food carts which have put Portland on the culinary map.
We are recently voted number one street food destination in the world by U.S. News & World Report. And we beat out Bangkok number two, Singapore number three, and Istanbul number four.
The food carts are similar to those burger vans you see outside DIY stores. The choices range from Vietnamese to vegan, Moroccan to Mexican. It does take a skilled chef to serve up sometimes large menus in such cramped kitchens. The collective term for the carts is a pod.
This is the Pioneer Courthouse Square Pod. Just a few blocks away, we have the biggest pod in the city, which is the Alder Street Pod. It's on 10th and Alder. And it's 60 food carts, one city block. You basically eat your way around the globe without leaving the city.
I booked onto a food cart culinary walk.
I'm Brett Burmeister with Food Carts Portland. Been writing about the street food scene here in Portland for about 10 years. I'll tell you some of the stories of the vendors and what's unique about that. We stop at 3 to 4 different vendors and try small bites. So by the end of the tour, you're going to be full.
Some of the neighborhood food pods have tables and chairs.
You have a cart that's selling beer. And so these become destination places to go and stay and hang out year-round.
Whereas you need to find your own place to eat when you buy from the downtown food carts.
These are grab and go. You know, you grab your food and you go back somewhere to your, here in downtown. You go back to your office. And that's always how it's been here in downtown. It's just when we got to the neighborhoods, et cetera, the designers of the pods, they wanted to create them so that you'd stay.
Well, it was time to taste one of the Mexican tacos, but with so much competition, each business has got to find its own special niche.
In a scene where you have a lot of Thai and a lot of Mexican, the Mexican vendors need to be even a little bit more unique. So when El Taco Yucateco opened, he introduced us to Yucatan cuisine. And his signature dish is this panucho, which is a Yucatan-style taco. It's a masa tortilla that is put in oil. It puffs up just a little bit. They cut it open. They slide black beans inside, reseal it, put it back in the oil to crisp it, but it's still a working taco shell. Then shredded chicken, marinated red onions, pico onions, some tomato, and topped with a little bit of avocado. It's not only the most beautiful taco I've ever taken a photo
of. It's colorful, isn't it?
It's very colorful. It's very flavorful because you have this unique taco shell that is infused with those black beans.
In the city center, the food carts are mainly a lunchtime thing.
Vendors usually open around 11. There are 3 or 4 vendors who are open for breakfast. So they start to shut down around 2 to 4 p.m. If it's a very busy day, even earlier, because they just run out of food. They only have so much space, so they can only cook so much food, is usually the case. You get to the neighborhoods, those are more 11 to 8. They also are a lot more family-friendly. You'll find more dessert options.
Well, Portland is a year-round city.
When it comes to the weather, like, Brits should be fine. When summer starts in Portland, it goes on for like 4 months, and you know it's just going to stay like that for the rest of the summer. Because there's so many trees in Portland, when it's the autumn, the trees all turn. And it's funny that a lot of people will go up to the East Coast to watch, you know, the leaves turn, because I think that Portland's probably got some of the nicest, like, awesome scenes to be seen.
I asked Emily to sum up Portland in 3 words.
Chilled out fun.
BA and Virgin fly the 11-hour routes direct to Portland from London. It takes 2 hours longer, but it's cheaper if you use Icelandair stopping at Reykjavik. Or do what I did, save hundreds by grabbing a cheap Norwegian Airlines Gatwick to Oakland flight, then catch a low-cost airline for the 1-hour flight north to Portland. You'll find lots of useful information and suggested itineraries on travelportland.com.
This is the Great Destinations Radio Show.